I want to, given that the election is 2 days from now, given the subject that we just discussed, I want to give you some thoughts. I don't want to bind your conscience, but I also want to inform your conscience. Did you know the word conscience means with knowledge? And so I want to give you some biblical thoughts about politics. Watch out. About voting. Listen, there's no voting in the Bible. Like, you can't find chapter and verse on that deal. But there is a lot that God's word has to say about the role, the origin, the priority, and the role and design of God's government that he gives. And the reality is this: a vote is hard, especially in a post-Christian culture, isn't it? I'd rather give like an eighth of my vote here and an eighth of my vote here and figure this out. So a vote is difficult. There's no perfect recipe for it. And we live, as I said today, in two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of God that Christ has inaugurated that we get to live in. And one day we'll be fully here when Jesus returns. And we long for that day. And yet, until then, we live in the kingdom of this world. And God doesn't desire us to live on the side. We live in this world, not of this world, but he wants us to engage, that we are citizens of not only a heavenly kingdom, but we have an earthly kingdom that we participate in. So we don't live over here on the side. We engage in it. The Bible calls us to engage in the world we live in. And it calls us to have significant Christian influence in the world that we live in. And so to that end, I would offer a number of things that are primary in the scriptures. Just as Jesus in the New Testament, when he approached the disciples like he often did, he often had to correct them and rebuke them. And one of the corrections that he gives is, as he said to the Pharisees, they were making little things in the law of God major, and major things in the law minor, and he corrected them. And there is a biblical, a robust theology that you can see about government and the purpose of government, the origin of government in the scriptures. The primary purpose of government that God gives us in a fallen world, you see it show up. In Genesis 1 and 2, you see God's design of man and woman, that we're made in the image of God. And then we corrupt that image, didn't we? In Adam and Eve in chapter 3. And then you see in Genesis chapter 9. Between those two chapters, you see some death and you see some violence. And in chapter 9 of Genesis, you see God saying, after Noah gets out of the ark, you see God saying, because I've made man and woman in my image, if you kill someone, by your blood will be shed. And there will be arbitrators of that who are judges. And that's what you see in the rest of the Old Testament. You see judges. You see God giving laws. And those laws often protected human life. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 13, you see how we're supposed to interact with government. And Paul lived in a way worse government than us, y'all. He lived in a totalitarian dictatorship under Nero that killed him. And yet he said that the government's purpose under God, that God instituted, was meant to put down moral evil and to raise up good, that it was supposed to be, not that it is all the time, an instrument of moral, as God defines it, by the way, good, and to put down evil, to raise up righteousness in the land and to suppress evil. And out of that, I think you get four primary principles. And that's the first one. As you think about going to the ballot box, and I'm not binding your conscience, I am giving you biblical doctrine, biblical theology of what the purpose and priorities of government are to be. First and foremost, the government exists to protect the creation and value of human life given by God. That is the primary purpose. That's why God instituted it. It's a primary purpose. So you need to be thinking, first and foremost, which candidate and which platform raises up and celebrates the value of human life from womb to tomb, right? Celebrates that, lifts that up. Second, I would say this. The government exists also to protect the establishment and function of the family according not to man's design, but God's design. I want you to think about the world we live in that perverts God's design of family. God wants to protect the family through government. Third, I think the government exists biblically to protect the understanding of right and wrong as God defines it. So we're looking for candidates and we're looking for people. We're looking for judges. We're looking for lawmakers that protect right and wrong according to God's design. And then last, and there's more than this, the worship of God. The government exists to protect the worship of God and the multiplication of his people. So as you go to the ballot box, which one of these candidates or platforms gives you the ability to worship God, to come here and worship him, and to share the good news of the gospel? And that is not to say, y'all, that persecution doesn't lead to more converts. That's exactly what you see in the book of Acts and the spread of the gospel. But as you think about government and human flourishing, these are central. These things are central to God's word and what it reveals. And there's a lot of things that I didn't say, right? I want to be able to pay groceries. How about you, right? Economics matter. Candidates, their personalities, education, there are other important things. But these are the primary things that God's word centralizes as it relates to the origin priority of government. And so I want to pray. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for our nation, because no matter if your candidate wins or loses, what we found out today is that God is still on his throne. And he is sovereign, and we do not put our trust in earthly rulers and kings and queens whose end is the dirt, whose breath in their nostrils goes away. We trust in our sovereign king. Let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of living in a place where we could even talk about the freedoms that we have in the world that we live in, to engage, to make our vote count, to have our voice be heard as believers in Christ. Most in this world today don't have that privilege. Most in history have never had that privilege. We thank you for it. Would you give us your wisdom? Your word says if we need wisdom, that we, in James, that we can ask for it and you give it to us. Would you give us a conscience that is not bound by our feelings, but bound by knowledge and truth? So would you help us do our best with the choices that we have, with imperfect candidates and an imperfect government and an imperfect world, until Jesus comes back? But most of all, help us just trust you. Help us trust you and help us love our neighbor who might think differently. We love you and we thank you for who you are, that you are the sovereign, matchless king. And one day we won't have to be doing any of this. One day there will be no voting, there will be no governments to argue about, there will be no sin, there will be no death, there will be no policies. Jesus will reign supreme as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.